Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know we got some people out sick today too. That cold stuff's going around and that flu stuff and demonic DNA stuff. Well, that's who I blame the sickness on, amen? I'm not afraid to say that. It's a curse. But praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we invite you here. You're already here, Lord, but we invite you through your Holy Spirit. And just be with us today. Anoint the congregation today, as well as myself, as I give out this message, Lord, that your word will go forth and challenge and speak to our hearts. Yes. And help us, Lord, to grow and help us to stay strong in our faith in the hour that we live. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And I just want to say again, don't you thank the Lord for our choir and our musicians?
Amen.
Amen. I really do. Hallelujah. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Because all of us together make up the body of Christ.
Yes.
Without any of us here. That's why, you know, don't take this wrong. Well, you can if you want, but when we don't show up to church just because we don't want to come, we're voting for the doors to be closed. Amen? That's what we do. And that's why we need to be faithful, not to me, but to the Lord. Because it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect everybody around you when you're faithful to the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you with that, because I know how the enemy works on us. I'm a human being too. And we just always got to remember in our life that our first responsibility is to show our children, our great-grandchildren, our children, that number one in our life is God. We're to be faithful to him first above all else. And that'll show the importance in their little hearts as they're growing up too, to know that, hey, for me and my home, we serve the Lord. Amen? And I'm not saying that to put any guilt on anybody. I just feel it's important to mention those things once in a while to help us to realize how important and what a privilege that we have to serve the mighty God that we serve. Because even this morning while we're sitting in here, there's places all around the world right now that cannot come together and serve Jesus Christ. And they would give anything to be in a service like this openly to worship God freely the way we do. And we need to remember that and not take this for granted, that we have the opportunity, the privilege to come into a church in America and praise our Lord openly with no fear at this point. And that is starting to change a little bit around the country. But I just had to say that because I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to speak on a message that you say, why in the world are you going to speak on this message? Because it's happening. We're in the latter days, I believe. I'm looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of the events that are happening in the world today, and I believe this is one of the events that are happening in the world today, and that's the occult, the rise of the occult. It's not only happening in the world, it's filtering in to churches. And I just want us to be aware of it because I wouldn't preach on it if it wasn't in the Word of God. But evidently it's important to God because he repeats it throughout Scripture too. And we need to always be aware of what's happening around us. Amen? So, and I'm only going to touch on it because there's a lot to it. But I'm going to touch on it this morning. For the sake of our young people that are sitting in here this morning too, that are in schools, where it's being taught in schools around the country right now too. And I want you to be aware of that, especially in colleges, that you have to be aware that's what's happening and being taught. Parents, grandparents need to be aware what their children are being taught in schools today. But not only that, you need to be aware of what's around you in your businesses and within your neighborhoods and sometimes even within your home. And so I'm going to do it. I'm going to preach on it. So the Pew Research Center said in 2017 that 56% of Americans do not believe in God. 56% of Americans do not believe in God. But the goal of the pagan today is to infiltrate homes, churches, wherever they can, and to grow paganism in our world. And that's what's happening in a lot of places right now, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to be strong and steady in our faith where we're at. So this morning, the occult and the Bible. I didn't forget the Bible this morning. Without that, how many brought their Bibles? Praise the Lord. Good number. But, you know, hey, we're getting close to that 100%. I think just by the quick look here, I'm guessing about 83%. And I'm not even a mathematician. I just threw that out. It sounded good. But I think I'm close. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such of the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those are doctrines inspired by demonic forces. And that's what's happening in the latter days, I believe, in which we live right now. We are literally seeing that happen before our eyes, and we need to be aware of it. And you say, well, how does that affect my life right now? I got all kinds of problems. Well, I'll tell you what. You seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the needs that you're having situations with right now. There's too many. Today, a lot of churches are getting too into wanting to deal with our immediate situations of life, how we can have our best day today, rather than get us prepared for what our eternal best place is going to be for all eternity. And we need to be aware of that, because God promises us in his word, when we seek him first in his kingdom, he's going to take care of our needs. And maybe sometimes our needs don't go away because we're too focused on them rather than we care about what's happening to the kingdom of God and his work up on this earth. Because, see, there's only one shot that you and I have to go through to reach the lost. One lifetime. That's all we have. That's all we have. But the interest in the occult is rising. It's a rising phenomenon in America today. And it's growing. You can look it up on social media, too. And anything I'm saying here, I've been watching some of the social media. And even with our president, witches have been called all around the world to rise up and pray against this president. We've got witches rising up to pray against churches, against pastors. I see that in social media, and it's on the rise. And you think Minneapolis-St. Paul's exempt? Did you know that in Minnesota right now, we are called pagan Stanist, because we have the fastest growing pagan religion witchcraft stuff going on in South Minneapolis right now than anywhere else in the United States. Right in our own. And a while back, I was reading about some corporations that are headed by CEOs and CFOs that are witches and warlocks that are running companies in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And you can look some of them up. And it's happening before us because paganism is filtering in and replacing what they're trying to do to get us away. That's why people are, that 56% of Americans today do not believe in God. That's a pretty high number. Very high number. And it's especially growing interest among young people today. The young people, you need to be aware. Parents need to be aware. Many times teens get into the occult through such games as Dungeons and Dragons and the Ouija board. Yes, the old Ouija board. It's still out there and still active. Sometimes it's also through rock groups and music and videos and books. And they all have occult overtones in them, many of them today. And also through acquaintances. You have to be aware of who you're talking to and listen to what they're saying, especially young people in schools. You need to hear what is somebody asking you to do or where to go. You need to question that, especially as young Christian people. You need to be aware of what's happening out there. Because people, while I'm standing here, it's happening today. They're trying to convert our young people. The young people are always sought after for many, many different things because they you know, like Rush Limbaugh calls them mush minds. They don't have enough knowledge yet to understand what's really happening. And so that's what the different sectors of paganism will go after is the young people to convert them because that's the generation come up that will replace moms and dads. And we need to be aware of that. Amen? Amen. You still with me now? I just started. Yeah. It is often said that the term cult and occult are the two sides of the same coin. The term cult refers to groups that claim to be Christian, but when their theology and practices are examined, they are found to be in error, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, like the Mormons, or they're called the Latter-day Saints also, or the Seventh-day Adventists. Those are cult religions. And if you say, oh, I didn't know that, well, is what you need to do is do some research because you have access to computers and books and libraries just like I do, and that's what we do. And especially, you need to study what the Word of God says and what they're teaching and find out that it is a lot of ungodly things that are not scriptural. And I can speak from Jehovah's Witness because I have a twin brother that's involved with it, and he's so far gone out of what this says, it's unbelievable. But I'm not going to get into those. That's another story for another time. Not my brother, but, cults. And frequently, cults exploit their members through the abuse of religious authority, which is true. Forms of mind control or psychological abuse in the name of Jesus. And the word occult, on the other hand, is normally not associated with Christianity. Occult organizations seldom claim to be Christian. Just be aware of that. Well, it is true that there are some common aspects or crossing over between cults and the occult. They should not be confused with one another. Some cults might not have occult practices, but both are connected by teachings that are in opposition to the Bible. Both of them are. The development of the occult. The occult depends upon the belief that all things, like the stars, the planets, the nature, energy, events, and all connected to one another, as well as supernatural abilities. Those who believe in the occult think they can change events and predict futures. Occultism also includes a belief in beings such as angels or spirits who can be contacted and used to change other people and events. You ever seen these, what do they call them, psychics on television that they ask questions and they know the right questions to answer and they make people believe that they're actually speaking to their dead loved ones? I can't believe how foolish people are to sit there and understand some of the stupid questions they ask. Let's see, you got somebody in your family and their name starts with a B. B, B, and the person says, Bob. That's it, Bob! How did they know? Those are the dumb things they ask and people don't even realize it. Oh, somebody died in your family. And I think it was do you have an aunt named Alice? No, it's Susie. Oh, that's what I meant. Just having fun with it. Another influence on modern-day occultism is the New Age movement, and that started back in the 1980s and 1900s, and it crept in also into churches today through the contemplative prayer movement, through the emergent movement, through the seeker-sensitive movement, and a lot of the books that the people, even the pastors will have you read are New Age professors and people in theology that have a New Age background. I was offered one by Peter Drucker, who is now dead, but he's a New Ager, but he is one of the key people who started the emergent movement within the church today. And they're totally New Age people. And today, the tentacles of the occult has affected every area of our society. Even the police and some police departments are using psychics to solve crimes today. Children are addicted to fantasy games, again, like I said, Dungeons and Dragons, which introduces them to the world of the occult through role-playing. occult shows like Angel. Maybe you recognize some of these. Charmed, Forever Night, Millennium, Pokemon, The Sentinel, and Dark Angel. And that's just a few of them that are on TV today. And those are all geared toward our young people and those who don't read the Word of God. We'll accept that stuff too. On the big, the big screen movies like Harry Potter. Anybody hear of that? And Lord of the Rings. Have you heard of that? And they've all broken box record. They're so popular. The books and everything. And people are buying them up. And it's affecting our young people today. Even college today offers classes on various aspects of the occult. And Ananova News stated, the Pagan Federation is claiming that TV programs like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and Merlin have fueled a rapidly growing interest in witchcraft among young people today. It's happening. And we can have an attitude of who cares, it's not affecting me. I'll tell you what, you need to care. If you see it happening or hear it going into somebody, you need to go tell them about Jesus. The organization says it deals with the average of 100 inquiries a month from youngsters who want to become witches and claim it has occasionally been swamped with calls because it promises power over their environment. Know what your kids are doing on their telephones and their iPads, people, and with their friends. And there is a revival of occultic practices in the so-called, again, the New Age movement. All such beliefs and practices, however, are demonic, wherever they are based solely upon deception. Every one of them based upon deception. And the core beliefs of the occult. New religious cults are springing up every single day. Each one of them has different terminologies and techniques, but many of them share the same occult beliefs. And I'm going to run through these rapidly. There seems to be seven major ingredients in the occult practice and philosophy today. The first one, the paranormal. The paranormal. This deals with experiences that are beyond five senses and are extrasensory or mystical in nature. An occultist will often refer to the sixth sense or third eye, which enables them to see something that the ordinary person is unable to sense or see. Then there's the supernatural. This is the manipulation of natural laws through such thing as psychokinesis, the movement of objects through the mind or levitation. And then there's esoteric. This refers to things that are hidden or secret. It is hiding the truth from the uninitiated through the use of symbols and allegories. Most occult groups draw newcomers in by advertising how they will learn things that have been hidden for thousands of years. And then there's monism. Man and the universe are all part of the same universal energy or life force. This means that there is only one ultimate reality. All is one and the one is God. The ultimate goal of monism is to experience this oneness with the universe through an alternation of one's consciousness. All this stuff's going on right around us. Pantheism, that a god or goddess or some divine energy pervades the universe, that we all are part of this divine force and that there is no distinction between human and nature. Ladies, have you been watching some of the makeup commercials? How the goddess, they always say the goddess. They really promote that through makeup and things like that right on advertisement today. Polytheism. There are many gods or many manifestations of the one god or goddess. Emanism. That the earth and all other objects are pervaded by spirits or energy forces. All kinds of stuff going on out there. Three categories of occultism. Divination is the old term and fortune-telling is the modern word. Those who are involved in this type of occultism attempt to supernaturally gain hidden knowledge about the future by use of psychic readings. And there are Christians who literally will get involved with this stuff. I've talked to some of them. I said, what in the world are you doing fooling around with psychics? What are you doing? The word divination comes from a Latin word, divinare, which means to foresee. The person who practices this form of occultism is known as a diviner, which also comes from the Latin word divinus, which means divinely inspired, and it pertains to deity. A diviner predicts future events, finds lost articles or people, locates underground water, or reveals hidden knowledge. You see those on the old Western sometimes, and are divination is the most widespread occultic practice and can be found in literally hundreds of varieties. Some of the divination devices used to foretell the future include astrology, using horoscopes and stars. I hope and pray there's no one in here today that opens the newspaper to see what their stars are going to be lined up for today using astrology. But believe me, there are Christians who do it, and they don't know what they're doing. Fortune telling, using palm teas, leaves, tarot cards, or crystal balls. Iridology, using the iris of the eye. Reflexology, using the bottoms of the feet. Biorhythms, using the cycles of life. I Ching, using sticks or coins. Pharynology, using bumps on the head. Molesophy, using a moles on the face. Auras, using multicolored fields that surround the body. Dream work, using dreams. Runes, using wood or stone letters. Games, using Ouija board, dice, Dungeons and Dragons. Scrying, a technique of producing visions of the future by gazing into a crystal ball, black mirror, bowl of water, hot coals from a fire, and different things like that. So over the years, many who have rejected organized religion, have turned to exotic occult instruments to find direction for their lives and advice concerning their future. How many people, when they get the enemy works on them, Satan works on them to depress them, to discourage them, to frustrate them, and people leave the church, they leave the word of God, and they still out there because within them there's a drive to find out what's tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, and a lot of them end up in this type of stuff. And believe me, the devil's real too. So what does the Bible say? I mean, I could go on with this stuff, but I don't want to bore you this morning. I mean, it's in depth, and it's happening in our state, if not the world. I've been around it in the Ukraine when I've traveled there. I've talked to Wiccas and warlocks and coming up and wanting to put curses on you. I've been in New York and knocked on witches' doors and they wouldn't open them because they're scared because they knew we were preaching the gospel. It's happening. And the people were scared of the witches. They said, don't go in there. There's a witch. Because that's what they're trained. But you got to understand, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not because I'm great. It's because he who is in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever I approach anything like that, I do it in the name of Jesus quite quickly. God does not permit divination, people. He does not permit it. Listen to what God says. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto the observers of time and unto the diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. God's against it. God's against all of that. God classifies such practices as an abomination to him. And so if anyone you know, friends, relatives, or whatever, and they're involved in astrology and palm reading, all that, that's an abomination to God. And I need to tell people and to warn people if you're not aware of that, because it's the truth from the Word of God. Divination makes God angry. Did you know that? Listen to 2 Kings 17:17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That's what happens when you get cold hearts. How many heard just this week, this past week, I can't think of this Hollywood screwball that won some award and that he was playing Winston Churchill or somebody. And he said he got his inspiration from Satan, and then he thanks Satan. Well, a lot of these Hollywood people are into this stuff big time, and many of them have sold out to Satan. And even Miley Cyrus just recently again told young people to go out and to begin to worship Satan because he'll make them rich and wealthy and popular. That's what's after our young people, and even to people who aren't in the Word of God. And we need to be aware of it. You still with me, people?
Yeah.
Can everybody just kind of do this at me? Just wave at me. Just come on. Now put both hands up. Yeah. I just praying that we're all Pentecostal. It sure looks like it here. So now I know you're with me. In 2 Kings 17:17, when you go to verse 23, you'll even see that God removed Israel from his sight because he was so angry he couldn't look at them because of them fooling around with this pagan stuff. Paganism, just as the term Eastern religion refers to Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, and so forth, the terms neo-pagan and pagan refer to separate religions that share some common themes. Neo-paganism is a modern religion which has been recently reconstructed from beliefs, deities, symbols, practices, and other elements of ancient religions dating back to Greek, Roman, and Egyptian worship. Paganism centers around goddess worship or worship of the earth, mother, or the huntress. And the most common form of goddess worship is Wiccan or witchcraft. Wiccan or witchcraft. And there are a number of the forms of the Wiccan religion, which include Druidism and shamanism. And in South Minneapolis, there's even places where you can go down. And I don't want to advertise them for anybody, but you can go down and you can get involved with them. There's businesses down there. There's many businesses in the Minneapolis area, St. Paul area, that literally are vendors and support their yearly program. Promote it. Did you hear that? They go in there with material to promote all this type of stuff in our communities. And it's more than you believe that's happening in the schools and the colleges, people, and within adult homes. Witches often refer to themselves as pagans, the craft or the old religion, pointing to the fact that witchcraft existed long before Christianity. They also dislike being called witches and prefer to be called practitioners of Wicca. They claim that their religion dates back to prehistoric times. I'll save that thought. They often refer themselves as Wiccans. This term comes from the Anglo-Saxon word for wise ones, which I don't understand. Witchcraft is a nature religion that in many ways is similar to the fertility religions that prophets in the Old Testament confronted back in their day. In their beliefs, they worship the creator, but the creator is both male and female in the same image as was man created. And what is being promoted today? That God is a non-gender, that he's either man or he's both. He's man and woman. That's happening right now in our society. It's being taught by pagans. They want us to believe that. But that isn't what I read in here. They do not see God as being above in the heavens, but as being all around us in the earth. The god or goddess of Wicca is creative energy or nature. The reason why their god is depicted with horns is because he represents both man and animal. They have many names for their gods, such as Pan, Cermius, Mars, Zeus, Apollo, Thor, Odin. They claim they do not worship many gods, but rather one god and one goddess with many names. Wiccans are pantheistic and believe that all things are part of God. Witches today deny that they believe in or worship the devil. They deny it. I've heard them on TV, even when they've had them on TV, even on Fox News. They had a witch on there one time that denied that they worship the Satan. But they do. They just don't realize it. Neither do they believe that hell exists. Surprise. So a lot of them might be Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know, because they don't believe hell exists either. They do believe that self always comes first because the body is a temple. They also believe that upon death, their spirit will become part of the natural energy of creation, the God-Goddess, and will be channeled into whatever is next. Today, it is estimated that there is as many as 80,000 to 10 million witches in the United States, over 100 million worldwide. And that's going to continue to increase as we draw closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some claim fastest growing religion in the world today. And I've read that just this last week. It was posted. Fastest growing religion, they call it today. Witches refer to their groups as nest, grove, circle, or coven. And that was first used way back in 1662. Which consists of 13 people, both men and women, and we are led by a high priest or priestess. The Wiccan religion is based on the natural cycles of the earth and all things celestial. And there's so much to it. I couldn't get it all in here today, but there's so much to it. They normally meet weekly, usually on a Friday night or twice a month during the full and new moon, and these meetings are called esbats. Closely connected with witches is the occult practice of magic, which is the use of charms, spells, or rituals to produce supernatural effects or control and forecast natural events. This differs from the kind of magic spelled with the C. This one I just talked about is with a K. But this one with a C, that is use of sleight of hand techniques for the purpose of amusement, which you see in schools or on the streets and things like that. There are literally hundreds of varieties of occult magic with a K. Magic with a K. White magic, black magic, red magic, tantric, which is sex magic, blue magic, neutral magic, liturgy magic, sympathetic magic, mesmerisms, magnetisms, magical criminal hypnosis, and there's many more. I just touched on a few. It goes so deep you wouldn't believe it. Occult magic can be one of the two kinds of either personal or impersonal. Personal magic is where living, intelligent spirit agents are appealed to, influenced, and controlled by incantations and ceremonies. Impersonal magic is where natural laws are thought to be set aside through the use of incantations, spells, love potions, amulets, and charms, apart from intervention of spiritual beings. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says witchcraft is forbidden. Leviticus 19:26, ye shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. This is God saying this. And by the way, if you're sitting in here and you've been prompted by some well-known preachers to this say that the old covenant, we don't have to be under anything of the old covenant. God's word hasn't changed. We don't live under it, but God's word is still the same. It'll never change. It'll go on for eternity because that's his word. And what he said here is still in effect. Jeremiah 10:2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Witchcraft was punishable by death. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. 1 Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. What's a familiar spirit? Does anybody know what a familiar spirit is? Anybody know what a familiar spirit is? That's where a demon can literally, see, Satan's been around for centuries, right? From the beginning, he knows people. He might know your in-laws. He may know something about them because he's probably tried to deceive them and destroy them too if he hasn't. And so when these psychics are trying to get this stuff out of you and everything, there's familiar spirit. They'll begin to talk through them. And the person will think it's a loved one speaking to them or a friend that died or has passed away. And they'll begin to speak to them and they'll think they're literally, their loved one is near them and watch them. And even recently I've been watching where there's things even on Facebook now telling people to be aware when there is, your loved one is close to you. That's all being promoted through this stuff. And it's getting more and more on social media for young people too. And they're looking at it and believing it. And angels and different things like that. And Satan knows how to bring up your great grandma, Martha. Oh, nobody's great grandma is Martha in her, but. But they know what, the old familiar spirits know what Martha, who she was. And they can say things through this person that is open to their demonic influence. Witchcraft will be judged. Malachi 3:5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. See, witches believe they're doing the work of God, but how many believe that God's going to allow witches to come into heaven practicing witchcraft? Ain't going to happen. Only if they repent of it, renounce it, walk away from it. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, did you hear that? Listen to this now. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God's serious about this stuff. He's warning. He isn't condemning. He's warning. He's warning. His love is so great. If you're sitting in here this morning and you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not reading this for condemnation. I'm reading it for warning, because you have a loving Savior that wrote his word to warn us of what can destroy us and get us away from him. And he's warning us. But the result, if you reject it, then you can accept it. You choose it, not God. Witchcraft will be destroyed. Micah 5:12. And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. And also witchcraft is a sin against God himself. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion, listen to this now. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Rebellion and stubbornness. Some people boast that they're rebellious or they're stubborn. Boy, if you are, get on your knees and say, God, help me. Help me to be teachable. Help me to be a person that, you know. Witchcraft is a disgrace, Micah 3:7. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lip, for there is no answer of God. Witchcraft will lead you astray, Zechariah 10:2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Spiritism or spiritualism is the third kind of occult practice. Spiritualism is used by spiritists who profess to believe the Bible. They'll believe the Bible. While divination attempts to foretell the future and magic tries to change the future, spiritism tries to communicate with a spirit or dead person in order to receive information from them, which I just previously was talking about, through familiar spirits. How a spiritist goes about communicating with and receiving communication from the spirit world is what is known as spiritist phenomena. And you know something? What's sad about it? I've watched these spiritists talk to even Christian people that were asking where their loved one was, rather than saying what and reading what the Word of God says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that simple? Nobody has to come and whisper in your ear, do some stuff. God just simply said, to be absent from your body is to be present with me. That's his word. That's as simple as it goes. Now, you and I all have loved ones, and that's why we want to reach them for Jesus, because if they don't know Jesus, if they're not with Jesus, they won't be with the Lord. They won't go to heaven. They'll go to an eternal hell. That's what God said. And he warned us so we could help prevent our loved ones and family and friends and people from going there. That's why he gave us this word, and to avoid all the stuff that's happening in the world right before us now. But many, many Christians aren't even aware of it because they've been falling asleep. And they're not even aware that this stuff is happening in front of them right now. But we need to be aware, people. We need to have our discerning spirits on and be aware what's happening and what people are saying to us. I'm almost done. This means you used to do this, which includes things like trance mediums, New Age channeling, seances, Ouija board, telepathy, clairvoyance, bilocation, mesmerism, psychometry, telekinesis, levitations, spiritist visions, automatic writing, materializations, apparitions. Spiritism may be mankind's oldest religion. Maybe. Today there are an estimated 100 million spiritists in the world. In Great Britain, it is estimated that 50% of the people are involved in some way with the occult. 50%. This is in contrast with the 2% that attend church in that country. 2% attend church. The National Spiritualist Association of Churches was founded in 1893 and today has 300 churches with 10,000 members. The International General Assembly of Spiritists has 250 churches and 20,000 members. The Universal Church of the Master has 300 churches and 10,000 members. The National Spiritist Alliance of the USA has 40 churches with 4,000 members. For instance, Spiritism believes in an evolutionary process of spiritual development. Spiritists believe that when someone dies and goes to the spirit world, they are able to develop further with the help of other spirits. You know, it's hard to believe that intelligent people would actually get involved with these, but they do. The goal of Spiritism is to evolve to a higher plane in this life and the next. And by the way, when you hear that, to evolve to a higher plane, that's part of the New Age movement today. And you can hear some of the terminology when you go into some emergent churches that talk about a higher level. Higher level. Higher level. That's New Age. Spiritists all believe that God is a spirit, and like everyone else, he too is evolving into a higher plane. They also believe that Jesus is the master of all mediums, but not the savior of the world. Neither do Spiritists believe in hell. Heaven, on the other hand, now, is a series of spiritual planes through which spirits pass in an evolutionary process. Through this process, a very wicked person may begin on a very low plane, but through the help of other spirits can advance to the next plane until they eventually arrive in heaven. Isn't that so contrary to what God said? Always something built on works. In conclusion, what does the Bible say? I always like to finish with the Bible. Amen? It gives you hope, doesn't it? Spiritism will make you spiritually unclean. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Spiritism will separate you from God. Leviticus 26, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. What should you do? Remove occult practices from your life. If you're in here this morning and you've been on with any of this palm reading and astrology and anything dealing with anything I talk today, you need to get it out of your home and get it out fast. It draws the demonic is what it does. And if you're getting something out of it, you better question where that something's coming from. 2 Kings 23:24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Jonah put away, or Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And then we're to consult God about the future. Amen? That's who we consult. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? That's who we go to, Jesus. Follow God's word, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Refuse to listen to the occult. Jeremiah 29:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. Hallelujah. It is true that there are times that the Lord speaks through dreams, all right? However, the scripture warns against trusting in dreams told by false prophets. Jeremiah 23:32, you can find that. Many of our dreams are caused by ourselves and so would have no particular significance, especially when it's a big pepperoni pizza just before you go to bed. Amen? Let's all stand, please. I know, again, it wasn't a popular message, but I don't come to preach popular messages. I preach the Word of God. I don't come here to make people happy and love me. God loves me, and if you don't, I still got Jesus anyway, but it's nice if you do love me because you're supposed to. You don't have to like me. But I tell you what, people, I'm going to keep warning as we're entering these days. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to have messages. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to avoid them because they're not popular, because we need to be aware of what's happening around us, all of this stuff. Amen? We need to be aware of it. And there's many pastors that are letting down their guard and not warning their people because they want the dollars, the nickels, and the numbers. And my attitude is, if this place dried up because I'm preaching the truth and I'll shut the lights off, we'll sell the building. I'm going to keep preaching the Word of God. That's just the way I'm going to do it. With God's help. And with every head bowed right now, is there anyone in here this morning say, Pastor, I've never committed my life to Jesus Christ? And I want to tell you this, if you haven't, He is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He said, all have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is separation from Him for all eternity, is death. And Jesus said, whosoever will come unto me, I will no wise cast out. Is there anybody in here that would say, with an uplifted hand, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Is there anybody in here that has done that and say, Pastor, I need to repent. I need to give my life and recommit it to Jesus because I haven't been living where I belong. I've been rebellious and stubborn. Anybody? Is there anybody in here say, Pastor, I've been getting involved in some of this stuff and I don't want hands on this one, but I want you to pray with me. I'm going to pray right now and I want you to renounce it. You need to renounce it, any of it, no matter how simple it seems to you, if it's tarot cards, anything, you need to renounce it and dump it and get it out of your home and away from you and your family if you want God's hand upon your life. And it speaks of witchcraft in the New Testament too. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your written word that warns us against these things that are happening. Thank you. and preparing our hearts for a future to live with you, a loving God, for all eternity. So, Lord, I ask that your word again will touch the hearts of us, your people, Lord, and remind us when we're in our daily life out there to be aware of our surroundings, what we're listening to, what we're looking at, who we're fellowshipping with, Father. And that we renounce anything that is contrary to your will in our life in the name of Jesus. We command it to be gone. I take authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. Against every demonic spirit that would try to come in and infiltrate this body in the name of Jesus. And I command them to be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I speak the blood of Jesus Christ over this property, over every person in here right now, in Jesus' name. And we rebuke every foul spirit, every lying spirit that is even trying to deceive while people are in here. We command them to be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive your love. We receive your grace. We receive your mercy. We receive your kindness. And we thank you so much for Jesus and what he did on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We praise you for that, Father. And now, Lord, I ask that you touch every home. Bless every home, Lord. Move upon every home, Lord. Meet their needs. And Lord, those that have come forward for prayer this morning, Lord, let them not walk out saying, oh, it didn't happen. They should never say that. They should walk out saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. No matter how you feel or how we think, how we feel or how we think, we need to thank you because you already did everything you can do on Calvary's cross, and it's up to us to receive what you've given us through faith and trusting you, the never-failing Heavenly Father. And Lord, we praise you, we thank you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Tell somebody you love them this morning on the way out. Slap them on the back, a Holy Ghost slap.